Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Robert Greer, and we're going to be talking about the Quran and how it applies to America. In fact, we have things changing in America. We have an influx of Muslim people, which is being actively encouraged by successive administrations. And as I just talked to my friend, John Stormer, today, who told me that in one community in Michigan now, when you call in and you ask for material, they say, well, do you want your material in English or in Spanish or in Arabic? In other words, suddenly there's so many people there of Arabic descent. Why, of course, you want to get an application for a job? Why, you can get it in Arabic. Well, I thought America was an American. You know, this was a Christian country based upon Christian values. Anybody can come here. But those values seem to be changing. We seem to be a nation in a state of flux. And the traditions, the great traditions of Judeo-Christian belief, what's made America the envy of the world, seem to be disappearing. Dr. Greer, thank you so very much for being with us, and I want you to pick up the story.
Nice to be with you, Stan.
Well, you go right ahead and tell us about your concern. Now, first of all, you actually teach in the university, don't you, Christian College?
I do. I teach at Judson University outside Chicago.
All right. You go right ahead.
Well, I just have finished my second book, which is called What the Quran Reveals. And it's a small little introductory book to my first book, my first book on this topic, which is on the Quran. And the first book is called The Quran Revealed, which is similar to a study Bible. I'm sure most of your listeners are familiar with what a study Bible is. It has a sacred text on the top of a page, and then underneath would have notes that pertain, correspond to what's on the top of the page. And then as you go through the book, occasionally you'll see maps and you'll see little short articles. That's a study Bible. Well, what this is a study Quran. It is patterned similarly to a study Bible, except that the notes are written from a Christian point of view and from a Christian myself. So that as you're reading the Quran on the top of the page, you have these notes on the bottom of the page to assist you in the process. And another feature of the Quran Revealed is that the 114 chapters in the Quran are rearranged in chronological order. Now that's important. The way the Quran normally comes to you in a bookstore is in the normal numerical order, but in that fashion, the largest chapters are organized first, and then the preceding chapters come in descending order of size. Now imagine, if you would, if you were to, read a large novel, like, for example, let's say War and Peace, and let's say that I was to take that novel and rearrange all the chapters according to size, with the largest chapter first, and the rest following in descending order of size. Well, you're starting to read the novel, you wouldn't be able to make heads or tails of it. It would be just a jumble, because what came before would not correspond to what comes after, and it's all just mixed. Well, that's the way the Quran comes to us in the bookstores. It has that jumble effect to it. And it's no wonder that people who try to read the Quran after just a few pages gives up and just says this is hopeless. It would be the same as if you're reading, like I said, like War and Peace, it's all jumbled together. But what I did was I took all those chapters and I rearranged them in chronology. So now when you're reading the Quran, the way I have it set up, you're reading it like a story. You're reading it as it was originally presented in Mecca and Medina.
Well, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with our special guest tonight. Well, Dr. Greer, why don't you tell us in what way is the Quran different? After all, they worship Allah, and of course, as a lot of people will tell you, we're all worshiping the same.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. And there's only one God, and that's Allah. And they are totally intolerant of the Christian God, and the Jesus they worship is not the Jesus of the Bible.
No.
But basically, of course, the whole thing that is the very essence of Allah is entirely different than the essence of the God of the Bible. And you go ahead and pick this up.
The God of the Bible, the God of, as presented in the New Testament, is the God of Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. These are not three gods. They're one God, three persons in one God. It's a mystery. It's a paradox. We recognize that, but we still believe it's taught in Scripture, and therefore we believe it. Now, the Muslim will look at that and say that this is nothing more than just a sleight of hand, and that we are just playing double talk with people. And that really we are the worshipers of three gods, and that makes us polytheists, or idolaters, as they would say. And we are therefore, we're evil, we are in disobedience to the true God, and that we will suffer eternally in hell because of this false belief. That's what they believe. Now we, of course, believe that the God of the Bible, the Trinity, is indeed the true reflection of who God is. So right there, there's a radical departure between us and them, and the listening public on your station needs to come to terms with that. We do not worship the same God as they do. Now, there's another interesting feature, and that is how they define Jesus. My third book that's soon to be coming out, entitled Leadership Secrets of Muhammad, I have a chapter dedicated to the way upon which they define Jesus. Now, Jesus I have every verse in the Quran laid out in this chapter, and I go one at a time going through the chapter explaining how they define Jesus. And what Muhammad did, which is kind of strange, a lot of people don't know this, but that he drew upon a lot of documents that were at his disposal to help him in the writing of the Quran. And he not only did he know about the New Testament, he also knew about documents that are kind of spurious to the Christian world at that time, known as what we today call the infant gospels. They're not part of the canon, they're not part of the Bible, and most people aren't even aware that they exist. But they do exist, and they were around at the time of Muhammad. Now,
are those the things like the Book of Enoch, or the Book of Timothy, or what?
So that one would be called the Gospel of Thomas.
Right.
The second one would be called the Arabic Gospel, the Arabic Gospel,
right,
of the infancy of Jesus. And the third would be called the Gospel of Pseudo Matthew.
Okay.
Also known as the Infant Gospel of Matthew. Now, these books are not part of the canon. Most Christians are not even aware that they exist. But like I just said, they do exist, and they existed in the 7th century. Now, the very first reference that Muhammad had in the Quran, from a chronological point of view, when he mentions Jesus, is he's drawing on the Gospel of Pseudo-Matthew. Now, this is the way it presents itself in the Quran, and this is in the 19th surah. And what happens is that there's a story in there where Mary is soon to give birth to her baby Jesus, but she's now in labor pains. Now, Jesus, at this moment, is still unborn. He's still inside the womb. Well, this infant, unborn Jesus, is aware of Mary's pain and plight, and therefore he calls upon a palm tree that happens to be nearby to drop its dates upon the ground so that Mary would have some food to eat. He also calls upon a stream to miraculously appear right next to her feet so that she would have some water to drink. Well, lo and behold, these two events take place, and Mary has the food and the drink from this unborn baby inside her womb. Now, this is in the Quran. This is the first presentation of Jesus. Now, the second presentation of Jesus is shortly thereafter. It's also in the 19th surah. And here we have Jesus, now he's born. He's now laying in a manger. He's perhaps 1 or 2 hours born, maybe even less than that. We don't know, but he was just born is the idea. So we have an infant babe, newly born in a manger, and this little infant babe begins now to preach to Mary and all who are there. And he declares that he is a prophet sent from Allah to declare the ways of Allah, and that all people who will come to him will either be healed of their illnesses or will have some miraculous, be cared for in some miraculous way, and that he will preach the gospel of Islam to all people, and that he would do this as a baby infant. Now, that's the second presentation of Jesus in the Quran. And it goes on from there. But the point I want to make in these early moments, Stan, is that this is not the Jesus of the Bible. We're getting a completely different presentation of who Jesus is. Further in, as you go further into the Quran, into the later presentations of Jesus, we now come to the point where Jesus is going to be crucified. Now, in the Quran, it mentions this, that the people of Israel were out to crucify Jesus. But instead of being crucified, according to the Quran, Allah miraculously raptured Jesus to heaven so that he escaped this plot of the Jews. And in his place, Allah provided Judas Iscariot as a substitute. Now, the people were beguiled they didn't know that Judas was actually Judas. They thought that Judas was Jesus. Somehow they were tricked into by Allah into thinking this, and they therefore crucified Judas Iscariot in the place of Jesus. So Jesus did not die on the cross. We have Judas who died on the cross. And we therefore have no, from a Christian point of view, of course, there's no redemption because there's no death on the cross. It's altogether different. The Jesus of the Quran is certainly not the Jesus of the Bible.
All right. So basically, of course, there are all sorts of differences between the the story of Muhammad and the story of our Savior. But what about the very nature of God? So you mentioned that the Allah that they serve is certainly a vengeful God. Now, of course, the God of the Old Testament was a vengeful God, but he's also a loving God. He has many attributes. Is there anything about Allah being a loving God at all?
Well, in each of the surahs, it always begins by saying the merciful and loving, well, the merciful Allah. And each surah begins with this benediction. So you get that repeatedly throughout the various, when I say surah, that's their way of saying like a chapter. So you get this repeated in the Quran. But as you begin to read what's in those chapters, you begin to realize this Allah is not at all the way we understand God. He is mandating people to go, the Muslim people, to spread the Muslim faith around the world. Now, if people receive that faith and convert to Islam, everything is fine. If they don't receive and refuse to convert, now you got problems. And according to Allah, early in the Quran, this is how it worked out. If the people refused respond to the message of Islam, then Allah would send destruction upon their land. He talks about famine. He talks about floods, different sandstorms that come in. There's also a mention of this mysterious noise. We don't know what that is, but somehow because of these people's rejection of, like, for example, a complete village would reject the message, and then a mysterious noise would just appear and just destroy the village. Now, this is the way it comes across in the first half of the Quran. Again, when you read it chronologically, God brings the destruction. He uses the story of Noah from the Old Testament as an illustration of this. He believed that Noah was a Muslim, and he believed that Noah preached the Muslim faith to the people of his day. And because the people rejected Noah's sermons, that God brought a great flood upon the earth, or Allah, that is, brought a great flood upon the earth. And that'd be just one illustration. And Moses would be another one that he uses. Moses, again, was a Muslim, they say. And that because Pharaoh and the Egyptian people rejected that Muslim gospel, that God brought, Allah brought the plagues, and eventually the army of Pharaoh was destroyed in the Red Sea. And so it goes. So in the first half of the Quran, Allah himself is the one who brings the destruction upon people as judgment against them. But in the second half of the Quran, everything changes. Now Allah is telling his faithful people that they themselves are also to be his tools. Not only will he bring destruction upon them through natural calamity, but he is calling the Muslim people to bring judgment by way of jihad. This is the God of Islam. Now, this is not the God of the Bible. We as Christians are called upon to preach the gospel to the four corners of the earth, of course. But we're not to bring about judgment or destruction or to kill people if they reject our message.
Well, now, what is the actual definition of jihad?
Jihad literally means the struggle. Okay. But the way it's defined in the second half of the Quran, it means to wage war against the infidel.
And, of course, we're bringing large numbers of Muslims into the United States. Of course, they're here to take over the country, and if they don't, of course, there will be terrible destruction coming. Would I agree, or you go right ahead?
Well, so there that would be, as I was mentioning before the break, that would explain a major difference between Islam and Christianity in reference to how they define it.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Religion, which is founded in Muslimism, we suddenly hear a great deal today about the Arab Spring that is breaking out all across the Near East and how this is wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, anybody who thinks this is going to be democracy, we're talking about one man, one vote, one time. And I fear that the Arab Spring that's breaking out will soon become the Arab nightmare, not only for the people who live there, because, of course, they will be going from their secular government into a government controlled by Sharia law. But that nightmare may very well bring that the situation may very well bring a nightmare to us, because I fear we're going to be drawn in one way or another into even a more expansive military confrontation over there. And certainly the Muslim Brotherhood seems to be positioning itself to seize control in all of the various countries which the West seems to be so intent upon overthrowing, and then bringing the Muslim Brotherhood to power. It doesn't make any sense what's going on. Well, it may to some of our listeners, but Dr. Greer, just pick up your stories. What's going on in the Muslim world, and why is it really concerned to you?
You mentioned the Arab Spring, and that's a common refrain that we're hearing in the news and the mass media. Whenever I hear that phrase, the Arab Spring, in my mind, I replace it with the phrase, the Muslim Brotherhood Spring. I believe that that's really what we're seeing here, is the emergence of the Muslim Brotherhood. 1928 is when the Muslim Brotherhood first came into existence, and it had as its charter the Islamification of the world by way of jihad if necessary. That charter, incidentally, is still with them today. They haven't changed it, and the reason why they haven't changed it is because they still believe it. That is still their mission. But it was to replace the socialist Arab governments that were in control of a number of nations in the Middle East that were not really true to the Islamic faith. They were really more true to the dictator who happened to be in charge or ruling that country. And they knew this. They knew that they were really only Islamic in name only, that the real faith was being pushed and marginalized in their midst. So their first objective, the Muslim Brotherhood, that is, the Muslim Brotherhood's first objective was to replace these socialist Arab nations with a government that is true to the Islamic faith, and which would include Sharia law. Now, since the Muslim Brotherhood originated in Cairo, Egypt, it only stand to reason that the first government that they would like to see converted to a true Islamic state would be Egypt. At the time, Nasser was the president, or the so-called president, of Egypt, and now, they finally, in 2011, they're on the cusp of now being able to bring into existence what they've been hoping for ever since 1928, and that is a true Islamic state where Sharia law and the Quran and the true faith would be held up high, and that would become the constitution and the way the government would be run. Now, they're also interested in Libya for the same reason. They're also interested in Jordan. They're also interested in Syria. They're also interested in Iraq. There's all these nations that comprise the Middle East. The Muslim Brotherhood has their targets on these nations and are hoping for a rebellion to develop within their borders and out of the midst, when the dust settles. The Muslim Brotherhood will be in place.
And yet, of course, the American people are being told, oh, it's all about democracy. Isn't it wonderful? We're going to have democracy over there, and the spring is here, and things are going to be transformed.
This democracy is a pipe dream.
I know it is. Well, I think that they're right. I think the area is going to be transformed, but not into the utopia that our liberals and the people who control our media tell us. What I believe into a militant, angry, seething horde of people who will be conditioned to follow the dictates of Allah and once again come into confrontation with Christian civilization as they did, during the first, 700, 800 years of the Muslim faith from about 600 up until 1492. That's when they were eventually driven from Spain, driven right. from France. We'll be back here in just a moment with our special guest, Dr. Richard Greer.
Yeah. This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metals. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
Target our youth who are being in our schools today. They are being evangelized for the Muslim faith by the textbooks. He tells us one of the textbooks he's seen used in the public schools where the student is to write a letter to Muhammad thanking him for everything he has done. Could you imagine a textbook where that students would be required to write a letter to Jesus or to God for all the wonderful things he has done? It's all right, of course, to evangelize for the Muslim faith in our schools, but certainly not for the Christian faith with the traditional faith of the West. Well, certainly before we go on, Dr. Greer, would you like to tell our listeners about your website, how they can get your books?
Yes, my website is thequranrevealed.com. thequranrevealed.com, thequranrevealed.com. And that's where my books are located. You can also get there by way of Dr. Robert Greer, drrobertgreer.com. That will also get you there. And there you can get the books. These books, the first book, as I was mentioning just before the break, is designed for teenagers. And you were just asking a moment ago, Stan, about Jesus, that they don't have us writing letters to Jesus or the teenagers to write letters to Jesus in the schools. Well, that same textbook that has this assignment to write a letter to Muhammad, I looked over at the section where Christianity is being discussed. They have some chapters dedicated to the church, of course, in their social studies books. But in the assignments, there is no there's no assignment to write a letter to Jesus, just like you said, but there is one for Muhammad. Now, this book, What the Quran Revealed, like I said, is a small book, but it's also well footnoted, well documented, so that when the student has to write essays, for example, in high school, they can use this book and draw from the quotes that I have here, and they could footnote them properly because the teachers often want their essays to be properly footnoted. Well, I have the footnotes here in the book as well. So it makes it very easy for the student to, or the teenager to be able to use this book and make it effective in their studies. Another thing it'll do is that it'll cause the teenager to be fluent or conversant in the Islamic religion and be able to contrast it with Christianity, because each chapter in this book has a Christian response as well. Now, can you just imagine this student in class is being able to talk intelligently and with a lot of information about the truth of Islam, about the truth of the Quran in class? I'm sure that student would be like a magnet for the rest of the students in that class. And then when the class is over, when they're having lunch in the cafeteria, they'll be asking that student lots of questions, because really a lot of people want to know what's really the truth about this religion. And this student who has read this book and who is now conversant on these topics will be the go-to person in that school. Now imagine if we have a number of teenagers are like this. We'll have a number of go-to people in that school. That's my vision. I can see it happening, and I trust it will happen.
Well, Dr. Greer's question is, why is it that our educational establishment is so interested in glorifying the Muslim faith and undermining the Christian faith as being bigoted and certainly responsible for so many of the problems of our society? Why is it that there seems to be an open attack on Christianity and a glorification of Islam?
The reason, I believe, is because the academia in our West today, in the United States today, is trying to push our culture in a post-Christian direction. Christianity is the bedrock, is the foundation of the United States of America. We are, as many people have said, a Judeo-Christian nation. That's our culture. It's grounded in the Bible in many, many, many ways. Now, in recent years, there has been a push to move us past our Christian heritage into what I call a post-Christian world. That's the agenda. Now, here comes Islam down the road. They're coming our way. These same academics would say, here, interesting. We can use Islam to further our agenda, which is simply this, to move us further away from our Christian heritage. So the secularist in our country is using Islam for the secularist end. The Islamist, on the other hand, is using the secularist for their end. They're using each other. They don't realize this, but they have different agendas in mind. But they do have this one thing in common. Both the secularist and the Islamist wants to move the United States away from its Christian heritage. That's the common denominator. So, that's why they're working together.
So basically, Chris, what you're pointing out is that there's an organized, orchestrated effort to destroy the Christian foundation of this country, because if you can destroy that, you've destroyed the very essence of our country. They've done a pretty good job in the last 50 years since they took God and prayer out of our schools, haven't they?
Indeed. Indeed.
Well, our telephone number, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Dr. Greer. Our telephone number is 1-800-541-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, if you have a question or comment. And a caller had called in and said they heard that when Jesus hung on the cross and cried out, "Yeah, Eli, Eli, it's finished, I haven't got the whole thing, it was actually... Allah, Allah. I guess that, that rather than saying Eli, Eli was crying to Allah. Basically, this is the sort of thing they're teaching in our schools today that they're confusing our young people with. There is, I believe, an active, organized, orchestrated effort to destroy the Christian foundation of this nation, and the people behind it know exactly what they're doing. But I really believe that there is a great danger to America, not only from the from without, but from within. What about these Islamic schools that are we're seeing here in America today? These charter schools are being set up all across America, where they're teaching the basically the Turkish culture. Are you looked into that at all?
Yeah, I have, and what they're teaching is what you would expect them to teach. Imagine if you were a Muslim, just for the moment, just kind of just do a little little game here. Imagine if you were a Muslim and you were going to set up a charter school in our country, and you were dedicated to the Quran, and you believe that the Quran was inspired of Allah and that it was the true word of God. Now, if you believe that and you're setting up a charter school, would it not stand to reason that you'd want your students to know the Quran? And since the Quran, half the Quran, is Sharia law. Now, again, when you read the Quran in chronological order, like my book presents it, the study Quran I have, what I call the Quran Revealed, you see that the second half of the Quran is almost exclusively Sharia law. Now, since that's the case, wouldn't you want your students to study Sharia law and to become committed to that? I mean, it would stand to reason that that would be what you'd want to do. And that is what they are doing. It's just a very logical outworking of their faith.
Well, of course, the thing is that we can't, in our public schools, teach Christianity, but of course they can teach the Turkish faith, which is based upon the Muslim faith, the Turkish culture based upon the Muslim faith in the charter schools that have been.
Well, they're doing it in these private schools. Right. And when we have our Christian private schools, too. And in our
That these were charter schools. Many of them were charter schools. Is that considered a private school?
Okay, now that I'm not aware, I don't know that the particular is there. That would be an interesting question.
Well, we've got a gentleman who's a teacher. I think he's on the line. He's a colleague from Washington State, if it's the same Ron I'm thinking of. Hi, Ron. Is this the substitute teacher?
Yeah, but I teach many, many subjects,
all right,
whatever
fine.
They tell me to. But I work with some Muslims, and one fellow was just so distraught during the Clinton administration when Clinton would bomb Pakistan to get his latest rape allegation off the front pages, and he was very distraught, and he the fact that the Christian nation could do something like that. I said,
well, I think we ought to be concerned about it. I think Christians ought to be concerned about it too.
Yeah, well, I said people here don't worship God, they worship themselves.
Right.
That's one of the big problems in the United States. They tended to like me because I hated American culture more than they did, because they have a very warped view, you know, like this is Christianity, and that really it's humanism run amok. That's our national state religion today. It's humanism, and the high priests are these psychobabblers, I call them, the psychologists and the psychiatrists, and what they're trying to do is absolutely dismantle our social fabric.
Right. Well, I agree with you. Do you have a question at all for our guest?
Well, I just, here's one comment. If someone comes to the United States to be a citizen, he's supposed to swear allegiance to the Constitution of the United States that's totally contrary to Sharia law, and he's supposed to renounce all allegiances to potentates, kings, and everything else. And how in the world could they possibly be naturalized?
Well, but let's ask Dr. Greer that. Certainly, when people come to this country,
there's a very simple answer to that. And again, if you read the Quran, you would know the. I mean, I'm not trying to put you down by this, but by reading the Quran, let me put it that way, you would this answer would come out rather obviously to you, and that is that in the Quran it teaches in three separate places that Muslims are given the permission by Allah to deceive the infidel. In fact, one of those three passages says that a Muslim is permitted to even say he's not a Muslim if by so doing he could further the Islamic cause one way or another.
But isn't that a death sentence to that degree if you turn against Muhammad?
Pardon me?
Isn't that a death sentence if you turn against Muhammad?
No, you're not hearing me. What I'm saying is they could deny the Islamic faith deceptively, that they, in their heart, they're still embracing Islam, they're still embracing the Islamic faith, but they're just simply using this denial as a ploy, as a trickery against whomever they're talking with.
Yes.
Now, Allah says they're permitted to do that. So since Allah says you can do that, they would say, well, they're given a green light. They can do it. So what's happening is that you're having Muslims swearing allegiance to the United States of America, to our Constitution, and to us as a nation, and yet they're doing it deceptively. In their hearts, they're saying they're not. If you remember that bomber that had a failed bomb, the car bomber in New York City.
I call him the smoke bomber, but go ahead.
Yeah, all right, the smoke bomber. He tried to explode a car right there in Times Square area, and it didn't go off. It just made smoke, and it was found out to be a bomb. And then they found him on an airplane just ready to take off and leave the country. They brought him back, and then they put him in custody, and he was brought before a court judge. And the court judge asked him, he says, you are, just about 2 years prior, he became a naturalized citizen of the United States. So the judge asked him, you are a naturalized citizen. You swore allegiance to the Constitution. Why are you doing this? He says, and this was his answer. He says, I did not mean it.
And basically,
I did not mean it. That's almost a direct quote. I have that, incidentally, in my third book coming out, that little story. He said he did not mean it. And what if you understand that the Quran gave him permission to do that, to lie like that, you understand that he really was not denying anything. He was being a very faithful Muslim throughout all of this, throughout all that he was trying to do.
I think that's a very good point. Ron, thanks very much.
Just one other thing. Gonzaga University, and I'm sure many universities, they have a lot of students from Islamic countries. In fact, there are many from Saudi Arabia.
Right, and we're encouraging this sort of thing. It's actively being encouraged by our leaders, because I believe many of our leaders have a different source of loyalty. Let's go to Leslie calling from Tri-Cities. Hi, Leslie. Do you have a question for our guest or comment?
A question or a comment, I'm not really sure. I don't know if I'm the first one to suggest this. Can I ask a Bible question?
Sure, go ahead.
I've been doing a lot of study in Daniel, and the very last thing that it says is when the daily sacrifices are taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, it'll be 1,290 days. And I was looking at a timeline, and the first time the daily sacrifices were taken away were around 600 BC when Nebuchadnezzar came in. And when the Dome of the Rock was built was in 691.
Well, this is getting pretty complicated.
I know.
I think you probably should try to ask that elsewhere. That's going to be, we're running out of time.
Okay.
But certainly there are lots of things. My understanding was that the timeline really began from the time that basically sent the children of Israel back to back to the Holy Land. Was that correct, Dr. Greer? Timeline, of course, for the countdown towards the coming of the Messiah. There was be so many 70 weeks of days.
Yeah, that's the 70 weeks of Daniel's story. And people, scholars have done calculations, and they've come to the point of belief that the arrival of Jesus and his ministry fits that timeline rather well.
Okay. But, Leslie, I think you're going to have to find elsewhere. Thank you so much for calling, and let's go quickly to Eric calling from Michigan. Eric, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do, Stan. Thank you, and bless you for bringing Dr. Greer on. I hope you bring him on a regular basis. Locally, there is an Islamic hour every Sunday afternoon. I've been calling and challenging them many Sundays, and this past one, I asked about the authenticity of the Quran. How can one be assured that it isn't fraudulent, distorted, etc.? And they said Muhammad was illiterate,
All right, fine.
Then they said,
Let me respond to that.
Go ahead.
First of all, I don't believe that Muhammad was illiterate. He was in charge of a caravan business before he started as a prophet. He was 40 years of age when he started his calling as a prophet, but from age 39 and back, he was in charge of a caravan business. A lot of money was being transferred back and forth in that business. It's very lucrative. And it doesn't sound to me like he would have been illiterate if he would have been successful in that business. Secondly, the Quran is full of plagiarized documents. This book is not a direct revelation from the Archangel Gabriel to Muhammad.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought for a moment. Go right ahead, Dr. Greer.
Yeah, this, as I was mentioning before the break, this book, the Quran, is full of plagiarized documents.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
The anti-communists, you got the conservatives, the liberals, the right and the left, the Christian, the Muslim. There's another force out there, and what people don't understand is what we write about in our book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. And if you haven't read it, shame on you. You need to get it or get the DVD and understand what we're talking about. Nothing makes sense today unless you understand there is another force out there, and this, of course, takes us into what I've uncovered during my 49 years of research, and, of course, you can read about it on our website, radioliberty.com. Suddenly, it's radioliberty.com. Read our newsletters, watch our DVDs. But let me suggest to you my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and or watch the DVD by that title. Watch my talk on The Dark Secret. It's on DVD, and there's a syllabus with it. My talk, The Forbidden Secret, and there's a syllabus with it. Watch my DVD on Iraq, The Untold Story, and there's a syllabus that goes with that, and it goes into all the wars we've been involved in and how they have all been contrived, just exactly as the coming war with the Muslim world is contrived. And if you haven't read the book, The Devil's Game, The Devil's Game, we carry that, goes into how, of course, the MI6, British Intelligence, started funding the Muslim Brotherhood in 1928, and how the CIA picked this up after the Second World War and has continued doing it, because the book says we've created a Frankenstein that's turned against us. I believe they've created a Frankenstein that's doing exactly what our leaders want, because they want to take us into a war with the Muslim world. They want a Third World War. It's been planned for a long time, and it is imminent. How soon? I have no idea. But I think things are happening at a phenomenal rate. You let me suggest Iraq, The Untold Story, the talk, and the syllabus. We have another wonderful DVD. Actually, it's called The World Revolution. It's my, and there you'll see my interview with Ambassador Smith, the American ambassador to Cuba at the time of the Cuban Revolution. And Ambassador Smith will tell you that he knew that Fidel Castro was a communist. The State Department knew Fidel Castro was a communist. The CIA knew Fidel Castro was a communist. And that's why we brought him to power, the best enemy money could buy. If you haven't read David Rockefeller's memoirs, we carry that. David Rockefeller leads the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission today. What's the purpose of the Trilateral Commission? Well, we have David Rockefeller's memoirs. We have Barry Goldwater's book with no apologies. Used copies, admittedly, but on page 280, Barry Goldwater lays it out. He says the Council on Foreign Relations is national. The Trilateral Commission is international. Their goal is to take control of the financial and commercial interests by first seizing control of the political government of the United States. By first seizing control of the political government of the United States, that was 1979. At that time, they controlled the political government of the United States. They controlled the Carter administration. And of course, if you read the book, you find that David Rockefeller, if you read David Rockefeller's memoirs, you find that David Rockefeller's daughters are going down to visit Fidel Castro on a regular basis. The Fidel Castro is coming up to visit the boss, I mean David Rockefeller, on a regular basis. Ladies and gentlemen, how could that possibly be? Well, at least he was up here a couple of times. David only admits to it one time, but he was up a couple of times. He wanted to check in with the power structure. Fidel Castro has always been, of course, simply playing his part, as David Rockefeller does, as everybody's playing a part. You need to understand what's going on. My number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Go there and certainly pull down our material. We hope you'll join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.
Let us all be grateful. America, land that
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, and illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. John Bell. Dr. Bell, are you there? Let's press the right button there. Hi, Dr. Bell, are you there?
I'm here. How about you?
I'm doing just fine. Well, why don't you just tell us just a little bit about yourself, and certainly we haven't had a chance to chat before, but give us a little of your background and what we're going to be talking about this evening.
All right, great. It's good to hear from you, first of all. Thank you for having me. Good evening for all of your listeners out there. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. I'm a surgical podiatrist, former college professor, and I'm basically practicing in my own practice here in Memphis. I've got about 5 locations here, 5 offices that I see patients out of. And I'm formerly married. I'm divorced now. I have 1 daughter. I have about 4 books. My most recent book was called Invasion of the Baby Daddy, and we'll talk about that tonight. My current book called Do I Fit the Color of the Rainbow? I also wrote a children's book about a year ago called Do I Fit the Color of the I Think I Can Be a Doctor is the name of my children's book.
All right, fine. I'm curious, well, one of the problems you're pointing out is the laws as they exist today. Sometimes, of course, when there's been a divorce, the courts will be already restrict the rights of one of the parent, and certainly will prevent the parent, for instance, if they wanted to leave the state, they lose parental rights. So you pick up the story, and I assume if I read, of course, a little bit about your book, and Sydney, you've got a very nice write-up there on Google. Sydney tells a great deal about your podiatric practice, but I assume you went through a difficult divorce, and as far as maintaining contact with your children, why don't you tell us what the basic theme is and what the real problem is, and as you point out in the treatise that you sent, why, of course, you're hoping by writing this book, you're going to keep other people from having to go through the same tragic events that you had to experience. You go right ahead.
Well, thank you. What happened was that I married a young lady who had a child from a previous relationship. And unfortunately, what she did was she went to court about a year or two prior to us getting married. Now, unbeknownst to me, she fell under what they call a joint legal status. Now, for the listeners who may not understand what that means is, it means that in her legal rights of her child, her baby's father, who she never married, now became as an authoritarian equal to the child as the mother. So in that regard, the child then can become what they call a ward of the state under the laws of the state that this law is passed under. Many people are not aware of that. What it typically means is that if the father or mother of that biological child does not consent for that child to leave the state under the law, then the child cannot leave that state if the father or mother chooses not to allow the child to leave.
Well, now, why would she have done that, before she married you? Why would she have given her ex-husband or her boyfriend? She wasn't married to this other gentleman?
No, she was not. And this is the one thing that America must understand about premarital children out of wedlock. Because when you fall into that, the law basically conjoins you at the hip in certain states. And North Carolina is one of those states. Florida is another one of those states. And so you have various other states that are very, very restrictive. And it's really supposedly a good
hold that thought. Hold that thought. All right, fine. Well, the woman that you married had had a child out of wedlock. She'd somehow or other, or for some reason or other, given her a prior partner rights to the child. And now, of course, was she going to move to another state, or what was the situation?
Well, the situation was that she did not actually give those rights to the baby father. The court mandated that the father have equal rights to the child. Because her and her baby father would fight and argue all the time. And he had an attorney and she did not. And one thing I want to specifically say to all of the listeners out there is that you never go to court without an attorney. Never go to court by yourself. Unfortunately, that is what my ex-wife did. And unfortunately, what happened was the judge sided with the baby's father's attorney, and his case was that she was belligerent, there was a police report about her, and they used it to say that she was forcefully withholding the child from the father. Now, be it that the father was not doing much for the child at the time, that was not really merited because she had no legal defense to bring it out. Unfortunately, what happened was is that the judge passed this order according to the laws of the state, made the child a ward of the state, and made the child, made the father equal authoritarian over the child.
Well, now, of course, it was the father required to help with the support of the child.
You know what? It's nothing wrong with assistance and help. The issue is that if the father is given the same rights over the child as the mother and can control her life with the law, then you can understand how binding this law and intrusive the law can be. And unfortunately, in her case, she cannot take her child, even though she never married this gentleman, she cannot take her child out of the state because of this law.
Right.
And this law is irrevocable to the minor age of the child. Many people are not aware of that either. But most child laws that are made under a judge in the best interest of the child are usually irrevocable. It is extremely hard to change the child law once a judge passes it. And here it is, a year or so after that law was passed, she meets me, we get engaged, we want to leave and to go from the state. I was actually in the state of Tennessee. She wanted to move from North Carolina to the state of Tennessee. And here we are now, 2 years into our marriage. I'm preparing my home. I built a home. And that's when the real trouble started. She could not take the child because now the father could press the issues of the law. And when that occurs...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in a moment then. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Dr. Bell is telling us of his tragic situation. His wife had a child out of wedlock before he met her, but she had gone to court, or certainly the husband had gone to court, or the boyfriend, the child's father had gone to court, and basically, of course, according to this law, why? Because the judge said, well, certainly I'm going to take responsibility for this child. The child is now a ward of the court. There's a fight between the mother and the father. But one of the restrictions was that the mother could not leave the state. She could not leave the state with the child. She could leave the state, but she couldn't take the child out because the father had a claim to it. But was the father providing any material support for the child? Was the father providing for the child or financing the child in any way?
You know what? The father was, but he was doing it what they call a minimal cost to child versus time to the child. In other words, the father would come and pick the child up on weekends or every other weekend, et cetera. And many weekends, the father didn't come. He would leave the child with the mom. But what he could do was appeal to the court that he would use these weekends. Even if he did not, the court still gave him those weekend times under the auspices of the law of the joint legal status, and so he could pay what they call a minimum payment fee to the mother versus time with the child.
All right, fine. Okay. So you're 2 years, you eventually end up getting married, you fall in love, you get married, and of course this is North Carolina. You're going to move to Tennessee, you build a home in Tennessee, you've got a practice in Tennessee, or you want to bring your wife and your foster child to Tennessee. So what happens then as far as the court's concerned?
Well, when the court found out that the father had the paternal rights under the auspices of the law of a joint legal status court order, it meant that the child was a ward of the state and the father could actually particularly keep the child in the state if he so chose. Now, this particular gentleman did choose that. And this is where the irony of the whole situation came in, because I never heard of a law of a joint legal status. And I know many people that I've talked to in this situation, I've never heard that actually someone who has never married a child or never married the mom could do such a controversial thing and use the law to legally invade a woman's life, to basically arrest the child in the state and use the law to do it. But this was allowed under the law. And that's why I wrote the book Invasion of the Baby Daddy, because you can imagine what the auspices of the order was, is that if my ex-wife left the state and she could leave, she just could not take her child without the father's consent. Now, if she did choose to leave, the child will automatically be given custody to the father. Automatic. And the issue is that now, with that being said, you can imagine the control factor of a woman's choices in life, which is choose your marriage or choose your child.
And so what happened?
Well, what she did was she chose to let the child go with the father, come to Tennessee to try to visit with the child, and she just could not mentally handle it. It became a very chaotic thing, because what happened was that the father would not allow the child to visit according to the auspices of the law. We tried to bargain with the father, and the father just would not budge, and it was almost like a spiteful relationship between him and my ex-wife. And it became a mental crash and crisis for her, because here it is, she chose a marriage with me, but also you can imagine the tear of a mother's heart for her child. And unfortunately, she began to really act out. It became a very abusive relationship for us. I could really hear the tears of her heart for her son, because she would just really wail out as a mother for her child and just worry for the child. The child at the time was about, I think he was about almost four. And so, you could imagine how things were really tearing at her heart over this period of time. And it became a very abusive relationship for us. And it became very chaotic. As you can imagine, someone that you're trying to usher through this situation where you can't do it. I couldn't do anything about it. I couldn't change the law. I couldn't change the fact that she went to court without an attorney. And I couldn't change the consistent trauma of what this gentleman had done to her as far as locking her into a terrible existence and the choices that she made. And unfortunately, what we had to do was I had to at least learn that my child, who I loved, she was pregnant with my child. So now we have a situation of a mother who is now grieving over one child where she had issues out of one state. Now she's up here with me and pregnant with my child, and we're going through a marital crash and burn, if you will, because of the invasion of the previous gentleman who she never married. Unfortunately, that spilled over into our marriage.
All right, fine.
And now she went back to North Carolina to resume parenthood with the child she left, and unfortunately, I lost my daughter. And I am now a visiting father to my child, and we are now divorced, unfortunately. But I have to raise my child out of state. Basically, I see my child about one or two weekends a month. And what I try to tell young men, professional men, I don't discourage them from marrying women with children. However, what I do say is that if the woman has, or if the man, the woman is single, she's marrying a man with a child and vice versa. This is what I always say. Make sure you understand if they have any court orders, what it is, how it may affect your life, and if you can live with an order or if you cannot live with an order. Because an order of a child in a situation like that is irreversible. And the reality is that most men who do not want to pay child support, like my ex-wife's baby's father, usually can use those laws to their advantage out of sight, like this gentleman did. And it can cause havoc and mayhem in an individual's life.
Well, I'm sure it's just totally disrupted your life and her life and the children's life, and it's such a tragic situation.
It is a tragedy because there are no winners, unfortunately, and it's a totally dismantling situation. As you can imagine, we were married, we had a stable family, and with a crisis like this, it tore the family asunder. The child who the law put with the father is still with the father. She has visiting rights with her son. And now with the fact that I had a daughter with her who is now away from me in the state of North Carolina, I now have to visit my child. And it's a terrible, terrible tragedy. And the unfortunate thing that you'll learn in my book is that, you know, it sounds like, okay, how could she put herself in that situation? But unfortunately, my ex-wife did something that I think is the most unfortunate thing of all, is that she perjured herself on the witness stand. As you will read in the book, Invasion of the Baby Daddy, you know, the judge asked her, have you ever called your baby's father stupid? Have you ever lied to him? Have you ever broken the existing court order within your marriage, et cetera? And all three questions that she answered was no. And unfortunately, the baby's father was clever enough to record her over the phone. And she had lied about breaking the order. She had lied about calling him stupid. She was cursing all on the phone for the fact that he had, you know, tried to withhold the child from her. And it really showed her to be in a very belligerent, irresponsible manner toward him as a father and toward her as a mother. And with that perjury, the judge laid that order almost on a permanent basis on her and put her into this kind of a, you know, damn if you do and damn if you don't situation. And it really, really caused a total mistrust in our marriage, and it put us in a very compromising situation.
Well, basically, and then, of course, was she able to raise her son? Did she get the son back when she went back to North Carolina?
Well, you know, the twist of that is that no, she did not, because the father didn't have to relinquish full custody back to the mother.
So the father still has custody of the son.
The father still has custody of the child. However, she lives in the same city at the time, and she can see the child almost at will.
Well, but who looks after the son? Does the father ever get married, or does he have a housekeeper, or who looks after the child?
No, he is not married. He is still single. The child resides with the father. He can live with the mother as will be. And I think it was a little pressure off her heart when she found that she could at least watch him grow up. It was a big, big, huge issue for her not really seeing the child, because the child would call and cry and ask for the mother, and, you know, as you can imagine, that could tear out of any mother's heart. And so, you know, now at least she can see him anytime she wants to. I think that satisfies her motherly instinct. However, she has to pay the father of the child, who she never married, child support.
And she has to pay the father child support. Yes. How does she support herself, or is it you are supporting her?
I am currently paying my child support to support my child because she had left her job to come here, and unfortunately she could not live with herself when she did it, and it just caused her a bunch of chaos. And so right now she's currently trying to look for employment, and I pay my child support, and out of that she pretty much survives a month for what she needs as far as taking care of our child.
How long has she been back in North Carolina?
Probably a little bit over a year.
So basically it's just a whole can of worms, a tragic situation where everybody loses. Now, once again, the title of your book?
It's called Invasion of the Baby Daddy.
Oh, Invasion of the Baby Daddy. How can people get copies of your book?
They can get copies of my book from Amazon.com. They can also get copies of my books from my website, which is drjohnebell.com.
Okay, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Dr. Bell, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, so Dr. Bell, what's the solution to the problem, or is this really a...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
That, of course, you're married and that you've got somebody that you're going to be able to live with and adequately. And because the great tragedy of today is sex is something, well, it's just for entertainment. It is not. I mean, there are consequences when you have intimate relationships and if a child is conceived, then you are responsible for that child. And that child needs a mother and they need a father. And, of course, what's happened is we've got two children whose lives are disrupted and three people, three adults, the father of your ex-wife's a son, your ex-wife, and your own life, all disrupted. Five lives, all disrupted. And certainly, you did the right thing. You married your wife, but of course, because of the pressures on her, why there was just no way this thing was going to be resolved. And with a spiteful father there over there in North Carolina, a tragic situation for you, for your ex-wife, for her son, and for your daughter. And certainly, if people just abided by the the rules of God and obeyed them, getting married before they have children, why, this never would have happened. Would you agree with that?
I totally agree. I totally agree. And to that end, the one statement that I was going to say to professional men and women out there, if you're considering marrying someone who has a child, there's nothing wrong with that choice. The one thing that I would say that I did not do in marrying my ex-wife is that I did not find out about the law. I didn't ask questions about, do you have any court orders? I didn't even know how to ask that. So the unique thing is she told me, no, I mean, the father just visits the child. You know, I'm good. I can take my son. I love you, et cetera. And she was not even totally aware of the court order that she was under. And she was not totally informed. Now, do I believe her in that after seeing that she lied on the stand? I'm very skeptical. But this is why I wrote the book and why I tell men who are professional men and women who are professional women, if you're entertaining someone who has a child, make sure you do your due diligence and ask the right questions, ask for court order papers, ask to see what order that child lives under with the mother that you want to marry who has a child or the father who has custody of a child. Because if you do not, you may be stepping in a can of worms that is irrevocable and life-altering to your choice of this individual. And you must be true, and you must be transparent on who you're trying to marry in today's society. The laws are so complicated, and financially, believe it or not, you, the incoming individual, can be held liable for child support for another man's child or another woman's child. It is legal. It's an invasive financial tactic, but it is legal.
And of course, Cindy, the family courts are not like regular courts, and you certainly do not have the same rights there, the right to trial by jury, that you would in a regular court. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-2295 if you have a question on this. But let's once again tell our listeners how they can get your book and the your website again.
Yes, thank you so much. My website is drjohnebell.com. That's drjohnebell.com. And that's drjohnebell.com. You can also find my book at amazon.com. I do have a follow-up book, almost like a sequel to Invasion Baby Daddy, which is called Do I Fit the Color of the Rainbow, which is about why men are frustrated in today's relationship, and also what happened as a consequence of what my ex-wife and I went through and how violent it became. I call it the internal myth syndrome.
All right, and that's Invasion of the Baby Daddy, is that right?
Yes, Invasion of the Baby Daddy is my first book.
Invasion of the Baby Daddy. Go ahead.
Yes. And the second book was called Do I Fit the Color of the Rainbow? Based on a 3-year study why men are so frustrated in today's relationship. And it also talks about some of the trends that happen in the African-American community and what happens in a lot of our communities across the country. When I did my about 3-year study, if I talked to men of all races, all nationalities, women, et cetera, about what's going on in marriage. Why is it so difficult for us to stay married in a society today? And the answers were staggering, and it was mind-boggling of some of the parameters that people would be challenged with.
Well, I think the big problem is that people aren't following God's admonitions and God's instructions, and God lays it out pretty clearly. And, of course, as we move further and further away from God's advice, we get into more and more problems. Hang on there, we'll be back in just a moment.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn
say.
No.
This is Dr. Stan, and our telephone number, if you have a question for Dr. Bell, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Dr. Bell, as you go across the country delivering this message, and certainly talking about your book, what sort of response are you getting from the audiences?
You know, the unique thing is I get a huge response of, wow, I did not know that. I did not know that a father could invade a woman's life like that. I did not know that the law would give a man that kind of authority and control over a woman. I didn't know that a woman who actually was the responsible parent and the most custodial parent to a child could actually have her rights removed from her like that. Many people are not aware of the laws today. And the law, and let me be clear about this. The law was not meant to be a taboo thing. It was really meant to reverse the deadbeat syndrome that has affected America probably over the last 30 years. However, it has become increasingly intrusive into single parents who have cut up a child alive, especially when it comes down to women, because 97% of the time the child is usually left with the mother. So it's usually women who suffer from these particular invasive child-like laws. Now, they're meant to be a good thing. However, it's the invasive tactics that's tacked onto a woman's life that comes with these laws. And the problem with it is they are irreversible. Many people are not aware of that. They are irreversible because they're not conducive to if the woman is going to get married, if she's going to settle down, if she's, you know, pretty much got over the fact that she had a mistake and made a child with another man. It has nothing to do with that. The court makes the decision on the best interest of the child, his or her age to 18 or 21 years of age, according to where you live and what state laws and regulations that you have your child under. That is a long time to be under a law that it took a minute to have as far as conceiving a child with someone out of an irresponsible act.
Well, I think the whole situation is so very, very tragic. Well, do you have a parting thought? I'm going to let you go here, but do you have a parting thought for us before we let you go? Your advice to our listeners out there across America?
I would tell all our listeners, my advice today is follow God's plan. Don't get out of God's plan. If you meet someone that you really love and really like, definitely do the right thing. Marry them, have your children then. The other thing is that if you're looking to date someone who has a child from a previous relationship, make sure you know what you're getting into. Make sure you know the laws that surround that child. And even though you may not see any court papers around, every child born today, if the person is married or not, has a court order on the child. You may not be aware of it, but you must be aware of it to understand how that will dictate your life.
All right, fine. We have Barbara calling in from the Aptos, from the SoCal area here in California. Barbara, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Well, just actually a comment for Dr. Ballard, just the fact that, you know, I didn't know a lot of these things either, but it just seems that, you know, it's unfair for him to be paying for another man's child who should be paying the child support. I mean, the law just does not seem to be working well at all. But the one thing that is most important is the fact that anybody who, and any mother who does this, the worst people who are affected are the children. And obviously, you know, the children are not being figured into this at all. This is so important. I mean, look at the life and what you're doing to your children. I mean,
I think a child needs a mother, but they need a father too. And basically, yes. God designed it that way. And if we just follow God's law, we wouldn't be in the trouble we are today. But America is turned against God. And of course, when people turn against God and think they can do it on their own, and then you bring the government in, and they're going to come up with a law to try to, correct all the mistakes that have been made. And sometimes it makes things even far worse. Would you agree, Dr. Bell?
I totally agree with Barbara. You know, the children are affected. My daughter's affected. You know, I came up, without my father. My father died when I was very young. Well, now I have a child. I try to see my daughter at least one or two weekends a month. But guess what? I don't have my child in my home. And it's not a situation that I have control over. This is a situation that happened in my ex-wife's life. That has now dictated the fact that I cannot raise my daughter because of something that happened in her life that became almost like a cancer to our marriage. And unfortunately, it was almost more peaceful to allow the child to grow up without me than to try to hold on to a chaotic relationship with my wife, knowing that she was torn from a previous decision in her life. It became that chaotic. So I totally agree with your guest, to your listener, Barbara. She is totally correct. When these events happen, as chaotic as they are, the children are the ultimate victims of these unfortunate situations.
And, of course, one mistake brings more tragedy, and then the new tragedy brings more tragedy. And it's simply a cascade of tragic events. Barbara, do you have a parting thought for us?
No, I disagree with Dr. Bell. It's unfortunate that the mother has not thought about what she is doing to her children.
Right.
I mean,
right.
They are the ones that are going to, are hurting, and it may not show up now, but it will show up in the years to come. And, you know, you can't do this. It's just not right.
Everything we do has consequences.
And especially on our children, fighting over who gets what and what you need and what you want in light of, and what it does to the children is just not right at all. And it's their lives. You can fight between yourselves, but what you're doing, I'm not pointing the finger at Dr. Bell, but what people do and under these circumstances, what they do to their children, I don't think they understand what it is going to do to them in the years to come, and what will happen to them when they become adults and they look towards getting married. I mean, it is going to be a very devastating experience for them, because they are going to be so, aware of the problems and maybe just not get married at all.
Well, John, I do hope that someday you can find, Don, I hope someday you can find somebody that you will fall in love with, and you'll certainly be sure ahead of time that this is going to last. I think that when you've been through a tragic situation such as you have, you'll value the next time better. I wish there could only be one marriage. I wish that, as it was, it's really laid out in the scriptures, but unfortunately, we've varied a long way from God's plan for the relationship between men and women.
Yes, we have. We've strayed far away from that. I will agree with that. And there are consequences to our actions as we live today. And I have to add one credibility to your point that you just made. You ask me, would I get married now? I tell you, it is a very daunting situation to think about marrying someone now with everything that I've been through. Not that I mistrust all women, but I look at them with a second and third, even a triple eye of investigation now because of what I've been through.
and the intrusive of the law and the deceitment, I think, even of my ex-wife. It's a very chaotic situation now to marry someone now. I really, really pray about that every day.
Well, I tell you, John, I do hope that if you ever do consider it, find somebody in church, a woman who loves the Lord first, and then, of course, can love you secondly. But, of course, you have somebody who's obedient to the Lord. Why she'll be a wonderful wife for you. That's really the key.
Yes, indeed. I totally agree.
Okay, Barbara, anything else before we let you go?
No, thank you. And my best wishes for you, Dr. Bell.
Thank you, Ms. Barbara. I certainly appreciate that. And thank you for your comments.
Bye-bye. Okay, if anybody else has a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, once again, the invasion of the Baby Daddy is the title of the book. It's available on Amazon. And Dr. Bell is simply trying to share with others his tragic story so you don't fit into the same category. And it's one thing, certainly, when you're into personal relationships with, you know, with people, with a woman, and you marry her. And then, of course, the courts get involved, the judges, the rules and regulations. And the rules in one state and the rules in another state, it's a tragic situation, and five lives, in many respects, five lives will be shattered because of it. Well, God bless you, Dr. Bell, and I certainly hope that you'll keep in touch with us and let us know what happens.
I certainly will, and thank you, so much for this opportunity this evening to discuss this on your show. I certainly appreciate your listeners for listening in. I hope it was a lesson from my life, of my tragedy, but they can learn from that and have better lives from that. And in that, I'm eternally grateful.
God bless and thanks very much. And I think, of course, what we should all learn from that is God has a plan for our lives. And if we follow that plan, of course, if we find somebody who fears the Lord and, you know, really is a dedicated Christian, it's hard enough to get married. But don't try to marry outside the faith. Find somebody who has the same basic beliefs that you do. And the most important thing is your relationship with the Lord. You have to both love the Lord. It's hard enough to get along, but at least if you have that mutual love for the Lord, why, life could be ever so much better. Well, we have a few minutes here, and so if you're out there in the listening audience, you have something you'd like to bring up, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Otherwise, I thought I'd share with you my view of what's happening here in America. Now, as you read the newspapers and you hear all of the various suggestions that the government is making, the Obama administration is talking about coming up with a great new program. They're going to create a great new development bank, and they're going to allow this development bank to borrow all sorts of money so that we can start a works program, so we can start rebuilding roads, and we can start rebuilding dams, and we can start rebuilding the infrastructure, bridges and infrastructure of our society. Well, it sounds really great, but right now we're in the process of tearing down roads. We're in the process of tearing down dams. Are we going to simply tear down dams all across America and then rebuild dams across America? There are many people who want, of course, to get us out of our cars and destroy the highway system. Are we going to build highways so that we can tear them apart? They want, of course, to build a rapid train system on one hand, and yet, of course, here in the state of California, this is going to cost, you know, certainly a couple of $100 billion to actually build something like this. And where is the money coming from? Well, they're talking about borrowing the money. But basically, when you borrow the money, you have to pay it back with interest. And, of course, when you're paying 6% interest, why, of course, it's going to cost you double or triple this over a 30-year period, depending upon the length of the bonds that you're going to issue. Where is the money coming from? Where is the money coming from where you to get the money to pay the interest on the money that you're borrowing? You would think by now they would understand that it is debt that destroys civilizations, and it has happened time and time again. This is what eventually destroyed the British Empire. The First and Second World War had to be paid for. In fact, they had to borrow money for the Napoleonic War. Great Britain did. Great Britain, the mightiest nation in the world, began running up debt at the time of the Napoleonic Wars. And then, of course, the First World War, which, of course, was extremely expensive, not only in human lives, but in the finances for the munitions, and then the Second World War. And at the end of the Second World War, Great Britain no longer ruled the waves. Great Britain had waived the rules, and basically Great Britain became totally subservient to the United States. The United States took over control of things that we did a very good job for, well, for the better part of 60 years. But eventually, of course, we have massive debts today. And we have a debt, certainly, that they will admit is about 80% of the gross domestic product. But if you read some of the other reports and you figure all the debts we have, we've got a debt that's about 200% of the gross domestic product. And you can't carry this sort of debt on for an indefinite period of time. And, of course, the Obama administration wants to simply spend our way out of the current problem. Oh, we can get the economy going simply by borrowing money and begin rebuilding the infrastructure of our society. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a pipe dream. We cannot spend our way into prosperity. You can't borrow your way into wealth, and they know this, but nobody wants to admit it. What they should have done 20 years ago was let the economy collapse and simply write off the debt and start in all over again. What are they doing today? Why, of course, Ben Bernanke is simply, he's had quantitative easing one, which is simply borrowing money and spending it to stimulate the economy. And when that didn't work, we went to quantitative easing two, borrowed more money so we could stimulate the economy. And has it worked? Well, it's given us about pretty close to, according to Mortimer Zuckerman, who's a member of the of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. Mortimer Zuckerman is the editor of U.S. News and World Report. You can actually get to his articles by going to the Drudge Report and just type in Mortimer Zuckerman and read his latest report. It came out a couple of days ago, where he talks about the unemployment in America. Yes, sir, quantitative easing one and quantitative easing two have given us an unemployment rate. People who are unemployed or underemployed of over $25 million. Do you think that this, that they're doing more of the same is going to solve our problem? You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting to get different results. What they're planning on doing is a recipe for disaster. But the thing is, if you could say, well, they just don't know what they're doing. Unfortunately, they do know what they're doing. There's a little cabal, and Mortimer Zuckerman is part of that cabal. There are about less than 80 people who run and control our nation, control the majority of the wealth of our nation, and they know what they're doing is going to destroy the infrastructure of this nation, and that's exactly what they want to do. They want to transfer the leadership of the world to the so-called BRIC nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and maybe put an S on that, South Africa. And you say, why would they want to do that? Well, you have to understand these people have a different vision of the world because these people are energized by a different spiritual force. Until you understand that what's going on is not logical, because we're dealing with people who are energized by dark and sinister spiritual forces, there really are spiritual forces in the world. You need to understand what's going on. And, of course, that's why you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Listen to our programs. Our telephone number, of course, if you want more information, 1-800-544-8927. We're headed to disaster. I've been talking all about it from the time we met. We say we're going.
Heart heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. Many decades, these great United States.
A bit more than that, you're helping us maintain our network of stations out across America, where we're educating people, hopefully on a daily basis, about the true nature of the spiritual battle in which we're engaged. And although we talk about simply the political, the cultural, the ideological, the social issues, the health issues, of course, behind all of this are powerful spiritual forces that are intent upon destroying the health of our people, destroying our economy, destroying the fabric of our society. And these forces are not imaginary, they're very real. And that's why you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Have you ever wondered why, for instance, we have almost 250,000 people in Afghanistan? That's 46,000 NATO troops, 100,000 contractors, 90,000 American troops, to fight between 50 and 100 members of Al-Qaeda. And if you doubt that's what's going on, go to your search engine and type in Leon Panetta, 50 to 100 members Al-Qaeda, Afghanistan, and you'll find out that Leon Panetta, one of his directors of the CIA, confirmed that fact. The same thing would be true for General James Jones, a member of the Trilateral Commission when he was head of the National Security Council. And I think this was in 2010. He acknowledged what I'm saying. Why do you need a quarter of a million men to counter 50 to 100 members of Al-Qaeda? Maybe this is all a charade. Only an awful lot of people are getting killed, and killed unnecessarily. Have you ever wondered why the Supreme Court took God and prayer out of our schools back in 1962 when there was no earthly reason to do that. It had nothing to do with the Constitution. Read the First Amendment to the Constitution. Understand that at that time, in 1962, the Supreme Court of the United States was under the control of a secret society. Under the control of a secret society. The Masons controlled the Supreme Court from 1941 to 1971, a majority of 5-4 to 8-1, and they worship a different God. They worship the great architect of the universe, who is not the God of the Bible. But nobody will tell you that. In fact, I'm sure many Masons don't understand that. But you must understand the spiritual forces behind everything going on today. And certainly Barack Obama was placed in power. Certainly, you were given a choice between the most liberal Republican senator in the United States Senate, that was John McCain, and the most liberal Democratic senator in the United States Senate, that was Barack Obama. They were the two candidates for the presidency. We didn't pick them. They were picked by the people who controlled the media, which is controlled by six major corporations, all of which tie into the Council on Foreign Relations. You need to get our material. You need to read it. You need to study it. You need to understand that they control the military, they control the banking system, they control the corporations, they control the Republican Democratic parties, they control the education, they control the foundations, they control what the American people think because they control the media. And this is not accidental. It's long-term planning. There's not that many of them. We can call them America's unelected rulers.
234-1317.
960.
Hey, AP Radio News. I'm Brian Thomas. More tropical turbulence, this time in the Gulf of Mexico. Lexion Avila is at the National Hurricane Center.
We have 10 to 15 inches of rain.